Pastor Chapel wants us to give you, I think Texans know how to give a good howdy and a welcome, and we are honored to be here. Pastor said to give every one of you a great big hello from him. And Pastor, we are so delighted to be here. It's a privilege and an honor. And Dr. Barber, great to see you. I don't know where you've slipped to. There you are. And what a blessing to be here. Well, West Coast Baptist College, you might think, what is the difference of West Coast Baptist College, perhaps from some of the other colleges? I would have to say what sets West Coast Baptist College apart from any other college is the Lancaster Baptist Church. That is the heartbeat of West Coast Baptist College. We certainly are honored, and the Bullocks have done a fine job, and everyone that's had a part in her life and here as a pastor and a people, we're certainly thankful for what you have done in her life, and we're thankful for students that come from all across America. We have six groups out this summer traveling the nation, visiting churches just like yours that believe just like you do here tonight. And we're honored to be here tonight. And so if you enjoyed the ladies, I encourage you to stop back at the table. They have CDs back there. If you purchase four, we'll give you a fifth one for free. And that's my favorite word, amen. And so stop by and see the table. There's some great books back there, and you'll want to definitely stop by. Now, if you're a junior or a senior in high school, can I have you lift your hand up tonight? A junior or a senior, several of you. That's fantastic. If you'll stop by the table, we have a little info card we'd like to ask you to fill out. We're going to give a CD or two. We'll do two tonight. We'll give two CDs away tonight. From those cards, we'll pull a couple, and we'll leave those for the pastor to make sure they have those. Well, we're glad to be here tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word tonight, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 14, and let's all stand. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Mark chapter 14. And verse number 3, Mark chapter 14, and verse number 3. And by my watch, it is 6:30, and we want to be respectful of our time tonight. And so, listen as I read, if you would, in this passage tonight, Mark chapter 14, and verse 3. The title of the message tonight is this, Only One Life. In Mark chapter 14, in verse number 3, And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box, of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Now look at verse 4. There were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Look at verse 6. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But ye have not always. And then our last verse, verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. I cannot help but think that someday we will all stand in your presence as the song said. And tonight, Heavenly Father, do a work in my heart. Do a work in the heart of every believer here tonight. I pray that you would keep in our hearts alive the purpose for which you've made us. We only have one life. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think everyone here tonight has heard of a reincarnationist. A reincarnationist believes that when you die, you can come back as something else. How many have heard of that tonight? Absolutely, that is not in the Bible. There's no place in the Bible where it says when you die, you'll come back and have a second chance. In fact, we know that you only go around once in life and everybody gets one shot to make life count. And then you're done. Now, Pastor Weaver, there are two things that I want to make sure that I do with my life. or else I'm convinced that my life will have been a complete waste. First of all, I want to have God pleased with my life. That's the first most important thing. And I think most of us here tonight would agree with that. Amen. Secondly, I would say that I want to make sure that I've made a difference with my life because I was here on this earth. There's a lady that talked about here as we read in this passage of Mark chapter 14 that I believe, Pastor, unlocks the secret on how to make life count. How to make sure that your life and my life is counting for the cause of Christ. In fact, she teaches us, I'm believing, a very simple lesson. That anyone can make your life count by serving Jesus. You know, it was almost a half a century, a little over, when John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address, made a very famous speech that many of us have heard portions of used through the years. When he was asked, asked our nation this question, he said this, and you probably recall, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." And I want to paraphrase that just a little bit. Worth Baptist Church, I want to bring that into context of our life here tonight and with God and rework that in our frame of mind and thinking as we think about what we should do for God. I would like to have us to think about this. How much time do we come before God? Many times we will come to church and you'll hear the pastor preach and you'll hear many good messages and have powerful speakers and pastors that will come through and preach, and our hearts are moved. And how we come to the altar then, and we'll bow and as God has spoken to us and making those decisions. And we'll many times ask God for things that God would do on our behalf, and we should. God wants us to ask. Amen. God wants us to pray. God wants us to come to Him. But maybe we should ask not what our Lord can do for us, but ask what we can do for the Lord. You see, the lady we're studying about in this passage tonight is not even named in this passage. And although I believe from other writers we may find her to be Mary and that of Lazarus' family and Martha and the sisters where Jesus knew quite well. But yet there are four characteristics of her life that I believe that because of what she did, in fact, Christ said we would be talking about her. And here we are tonight, some 2,000 more years talking about her life. If we can answer these four questions, just four brief questions that I have for us tonight, I guarantee you our life will count. Here's question number one. Question number one tonight, I think we ought to all ask ourselves, is this: am I waiting to serve Jesus? I'd like to take your Bibles and look in Mark 14 and verse 3 again. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made?" You know, as we're looking at the life of this little lady, she was observing the needs of those around her. I wonder tonight, as you came into the building, was there somebody that you noticed was sitting by themselves? Was there someone that perhaps as you came into the building tonight, now listen carefully, because all around us there are people with needs in this room. There are many of you that have broken hearts. There are many of you that cried yourself to sleep maybe one or two nights this week and have a tremendous burden on your heart. One of the things that I notice as we look at this little lady's life that we see in this example of making our life count is that she observed those around her. She observed that the Savior was in a heavy heart because of perhaps what was coming before Him. And He was living inside of the valley of the shadow of death at this point in His life. She knew that something was deeply about to happen in His life. Ladies and gentlemen, when you spend time with someone, you know what they like and what they don't like. when we spend time, I've had the privilege of being married to my wife now for these 30 years. It'll be 31 years here in just a few weeks. She's my best friend outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what she likes. I know, by the way, we husbands, we ought to know what they don't like. Amen. Gonna get an amen there. I know what candy bar she likes. I know what she likes in her coffee. I know what cream to put in her coffee. I know. You know, you learn those things because you spend time with someone. Mary knew what Jesus needed because she had spent time with the Savior. You know, if we really care about God tonight, if we really care about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, not just in lip service, but in true action, we'll learn by studying the Word of God what God wants us to do. We need to study what Christ would have us to do. How to serve Jesus? Oh, we'll not find that in the newspaper. Oh, no. We'll not even find it on the internet. And yes, we will not hear about it on the radio, but we must get into the Word of God daily and stay in His book and understand that there needs to be an eagerness on our part, as in the life of Mary. And so she was waiting to do what she could. Mary simply made herself available. As we've been now traveling for several weeks across our southwest part of the nation, from Lancaster to here, one thing we've been trying to do is to stir the hearts of those teenagers and young people with a future ahead of them. And I have to include every one of us here tonight. We just need to be available to Jesus with our life. Mary simply made herself available. And if you're available to God, by the way, you're usable to God. We ask that first question, am I waiting to serve Jesus? Secondly, write this down if you would. Not only am I waiting to serve Jesus, but am I willing to serve Jesus? Notice what Mary does in verse 3. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she break the box. Spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Mary takes some tremendously costly perfume that she had probably saved perhaps for years to purchase. And I'm told that at the least she probably worked an entire year's worth of wages to save, at the very conservative least, for that perfume. Mark uses two adjectives as God gave the writer to describe this particular ointment. Two words. One, he uses a word that literally means genuine. Folks, this was no Kmart Blue Light special. This was not a knockoff that you'll find in some cheap perfume case. Oh no, this was something that was genuine. And to let us know that it was not some kind of cheap thing, that it was the real thing, he uses another word to let us know that it was extremely costly. Very expensive. In other words, it was the finest that money could buy. I want to submit to us tonight, listen carefully. In other words, she gave the best she had. The honest truth is, as I stand before God tonight, I want to give the best I have. I want to give God the very best that I have. I don't want to give God the leftovers. I don't want to give God just the portions of my life that are easy. I want to give Him everything. A vase of this type of perfume would, I'm told, probably contain about 12 ounces, and being very costly, perhaps that year's worth of wages, she breaks that flask and pours it onto the body of our Savior. Do you know what Mary was doing? She was giving her best. The best that she had to give to Jesus. We're Baptist Church. We need to give our very best to Jesus. Every boy and every girl, listen carefully. We need to give our best to Jesus. Every teenager, let's give our best to Jesus. Everyone here. You know, we're not able. In fact, Mary was doing what she was doing, but she was giving of her best. And not all of us can give the same things to Jesus tonight. Why, there are some, not all of us can give the same kind of an income or a money to the Lord, because we have different income amounts here tonight. Not all of us have the same kind of ability. Some of you are silver-tongued orators, and I'm humbled to be in your presence this evening. And yet, not all of us have the same abilities. Not all of us tonight have the same kind of intelligence. There are some with PhDs here tonight and some with much experience and others that are novice. Oh yes, there are many and different ones can give different things tonight. But can I tell you this? Every single one here tonight, no matter who we are, can give of our best to Jesus. Give your best. God doesn't grade us on the curve and God doesn't compare us with somebody else. And your best may not be as much as somebody else's best, but your best can be your best and do your best. If we're willing to serve Jesus, then we'll understand it's going to cost. And because after all, if we're going to offer Jesus that which costs nothing, then it would be better off to maybe offer Him nothing. But the mark of a person that understands the beauty and the joy of serving Jesus is a person that gives no thought as to what it may cost him in terms of time and talent and treasure. You know, in simple terms, God just wants us to do our best. God wants us to give of that. I wonder, are we giving our best? In that Sunday school class, could we perhaps not just teach the lesson and oh, do that well, but make those visits that need to be made? But reach out to those that are hurting and those that are going through the tough times. It raises our third question tonight. First, we ask, am I waiting to serve Jesus? Then we asked, am I willing to serve Jesus? And I want to say thirdly tonight, and Pastor, this is where I get in trouble. I think a lot of us do if we're honest tonight. Am I wanting? Sometimes my wanter is not what it should be. Amen. Am I wanting to serve Jesus? Oh, you know, after these ladies sing, I want to serve Jesus. Well, how about Monday morning? Or should I say this week, how about Tuesday morning this week after you have today, tomorrow off? Are we wanting to serve Jesus? Mary was thinking only of Jesus as she broke the vase and poured that perfume over the body of our Savior. And before, Pastor Weaver, the last drop hit the floor, she had to withstand the withering blast of a critical fire from a hypocritical furnace. You say, what are you saying? Look in verse 4. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Verse 5, some said, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. You know, being 30 years in the ministry, I understand that many of you understand this. You say, well, I would be involved with this part of the church, but I got criticized one time. Somebody kind of made some remarks about what I did in VBS or what I did with the youth, or and you were trying your best. And folks, listen, no matter how pure your motives are, I want to remind us, people are going to gripe and complain. People are going to criticize. Think about the no-win sometimes situation your pastor and every pastor is in as he preaches. He preaches on money, he gets criticized. He preaches on, never preaches on money, he gets criticized. If he preaches on hell, he gets criticized. And someone might say he preaches too much on hell. If he preaches either way, he gets hit. I want to teach you a valuable leadership lesson here tonight for everybody. And I hope we learn this. If we're ever going to get anything done in our life that is going to make a difference for someone else, then we need to learn we're going to be criticized, amen. You don't have to go to work to be criticized. I mean, you can come to church and be criticized. I mean, it happens everywhere, folks. And somebody, and I'm not saying that you folks are hypocritical and critical tonight. I just know churches. I just know people. I just know myself. Because we all have that tendency if we're not careful. Somebody's going to walk out of the church tonight and say, wow, I enjoyed that singing, but I wish that man would have sure hurried up and sat down. Think about it. Let's make a difference. The criticism will come. I really enjoyed the singing. And my wife and I have traveled with these ladies now for these 2 weeks of the summer. You pray for us as we travel. But you know what our desire is, this is to please God and to make a difference. I wonder tonight, as we live our one life, are we making a difference? I heard about a man that walked out of the church one time and somebody said, how do you like the pastor? And The man said, I can't stand him. The man said, well, why is that? He said, because he preaches so long, I can't stay awake. And he yells so loud, I can't go to sleep. The truth of the matter is, the world thinks that what we're doing here tonight is silly. And we need to stay right on target, as Worth Baptist Church has done for many years. Amen. Preaching the Word, teaching, and leading people to Christ. As we think about those questions tonight, I want us to look in Mark chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought. And if you underline in your Bible, this is one of those places I'd encourage you to underline in verse 6. She hath wrought a good work on me. You notice tonight, it doesn't say, Pastor, that it was a big work. It doesn't even say that it was a well-known work. Oh, you see, only those in the room knew what she did. Jesus said it was a good work. What really matters about my life, what really matters about all of our lives here tonight, is not what I think or others think of me, but what really matters is what does Jesus think. And if you please Jesus, it doesn't matter whom you displease, but if you displease Jesus, it doesn't matter whom you please. Notice that Jesus didn't say that it was a big work, but he said it was a good work. And I encourage us tonight, let's do a good work. Anybody that's been to church for a long time and long enough knows that a church is built on people who are willing to do not just the big things, but the little things too. There are a lot of people in the church, in many churches, they want to be the big dog. They want to be the person that everybody sees. And they want to be the power and have all the decision making at their beckoning. But can I tell you tonight, the heroes of this church and the heroes of every church are those little ladies back there with the toddlers on the floor teaching them their first songs tonight. And the heroes of the church are those that will come in through the week and nobody sees, and maybe no one even knows, maybe the pastor doesn't even know, all the little things that they do for the Savior. The lines are filled with people that want to do the big things, but we need to remember tonight to do the little things. Reminds me of a man that was talking to a great tall man. I'm not a tall man. I'm only 5'8", and met several of you bigger men here tonight, and always long for that height. I'm the same height I was that I was in eighth grade. I drank too much coffee, amen? I don't know. That's what they told me. This big man was standing there, and a little guy come up. It's always the little guys, I'm told. He came up, and he said, well, why don't you go out into the woods? You're so big, you could find the biggest bear and you could wrestle him down to the ground. And that big man looked down and said, well, let's go. He said, there's a lot of little bears out there you can take care of too. It's always somebody like that. Let me ask you a question. Am I willing? Am I waiting? Am I wanting to serve Jesus? And here's the last one. Am I working? Am I working to serve Jesus? One simple statement Jesus made about Mary speaks volumes about her. Let's look in verse number 8 tonight. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. You know, it was not what she did that impressed Jesus, but because what she did was really, honestly, not that big of a thing, although she gave a lot to do it. She poured some oil over his head, and what really impressed Jesus was that she hath done what she could. All I want to do is do everything that I can do. I want every one of you to ask yourself a question. Am I doing for God what I can do? Do you know how God is going to judge us? Listen carefully to this. This helped me so much in my Christian life. I think a lot of times we have this idea that God is going to compare us to someone else, but not so. You see, God knows what I can do. God knows what I'm capable of with my life. And if we'll listen very carefully, I think we'll understand this. God is going to evaluate us not on what we did, but He will evaluate us on what we did compared to what we could have done. What could you do for the Lord with your life? Oh, listen tonight. It's a very important little phrase that I learned years and years ago about the time I graduated from high school. And I memorized it. I think you've probably heard it. It goes something like this. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Pastor, when the mountains have crumbled into dust and the stars have fallen from the heavens like ripened figs, when the oceans have dried up like the desert and the sun is flamed out to shine no more, what will you have done for Jesus will live and will last forever. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I wonder, are we willing, are we wanting, are we working? With every head bowed, how many would say, Pastor, Brother Deverick, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you just slip a hand up and hold it up high? God bless you. You're good people. God, thank you. You may put your hands down. God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Savior. Maybe you've never trusted in Christ. Maybe you can't point back to a time in your life when you put your trust in the Savior. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you're in the right place tonight. You're in a place where people love you and would love nothing more than to take a Bible and to show you from the Word of God how to get to heaven. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking, is there one tonight that would say, Brother Deverick, I'd like to know about what you're talking about, this heaven. I'd like to know how that I could put my head on my pillow tonight and know for sure that I'm saved and would be with the Savior someday. If you're like that here tonight and you'd like to know Christ personally as your Savior, would you just slip your hand up? Anybody at all? All over this great crowd tonight? Anybody at all? I would like to know Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure of it. Pray for me. Would you let us pray for you? Just one? Anyone? Then let me ask this question. And by the way, just because you didn't raise your hand now, if that's still on your heart and you know you need to, search out the pastor or one of these godly men on the platform, or one of these men here in the auditorium, and they'll help you, or these ladies. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the last thing I'll ask is this. Are we willing? Are we wanting? Are we willing? Are we wanting to serve the Savior? Some characteristics that will make a difference. How many would say tonight in this great crowd of people, Brother Deverick, I would like to make a difference with my life. I'm going to take some of those thoughts tonight and put it into my practice of my life. And you'd say tonight, pray for me. Would you slip a hand up? Would you? God bless you. All over, that's up. Just put it up, put it down. Don't need to hold it up. That's great. That's great. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And while the pianist plays tonight very softly, maybe while someone's coming, you would come too. Find a place here at the altar. That's right. As others are coming, you come. And you would say, Lord, help me. Sometimes my wanter is not what it should be, but I want to do the work you've given me to do. Every head's bowed. Every eye is closed. Others are coming. You come. Pastor.